Do you like the Simply Focus podcast? Well, help Elfie and Dominic spread the word. Give the Simply Focus podcast an excellent rating on iTunes and Google Play and other platforms. Then don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
That is Simply Focus with Elfie Channing and Dominic Gooden for live enjoyment.
Are you ready for this new episode of the Simply Focus podcast? Then please welcome your hosts, Elfie Cherney and Dominic Godad.
Wow, we're here at the SFU conference in beautiful Taos. And it's the third day of the conference. Everybody is gathering and soon Evan Church with Getting Briefer will start. So we have a few minutes with participants that have already been here for 2 days and enjoyed this conference, learned so many things and would love to talk with them.
So who wants to go first? We are here with Erin Cusano from New York, with Jennifer Watson from Texas, and with Laurie Scott from Atlanta. And we are very curious, what fascinates you about solution focus?
I'm Laurie Scott from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. And what fascinates me is, one, solution focus is geared towards strength-based, right? And so we look at the strengths more so than weaknesses. And I love that. I've been practicing solution focus for about 4 or 5 years now.
And it's the third day of the conference. So what have you already taken away? What are your learnings from the conference for your own practice?
Stories, right? So they've spoken so much about different stories and how you could integrate stories into your practice. I love that. I tell stories myself already, so it just was a compliment to what I'm already doing. And it's also another takeaway for me is being able to really help people in trauma and really let them know that they are resilient, even in the face of a traumatic experience.
Wow, thank you.
Erin.
Well, Elfie, I'm a relative newcomer. I'm a middle school counselor in New York, and I also am a licensed mental health counselor. And what fascinates me is really that there's not a fixing of problems. It's really just tapping into the strengths and resources that people already have. And that just felt so different and so refreshing to me that I don't have to kind of help kids understand why something is happening to help them. So I think that's what fascinates me. It's really a tapping into what's already there versus a trying to create something new for them.
A tapping into, how do you do that?
I think just asking different questions. When I first started in this journey of becoming solution focused, I attended the Solution Focused Brief Therapy Association conference, and I went back to my school and I said, I'm going to ask best hopes questions every single time I meet with students. Instead of asking, you know, what's wrong or what happened, I'm going to ask, you know, what are your best hopes for our talking? And that really changed the conversations that I was having and really just excited me and felt way more helpful and useful. And as a school counselor, there's lots and lots of kids and not a ton of time. So the idea of brief was really, really appealing, because if I can help a student to be in a place where they're ready to go back to class and re-engage and feeling empowered and good in 15 minutes versus an hour and a half, that to me was really also appealing from a very practical standpoint.
Thank you. And if there is one takeaway so far right now in this moment where you also think this could be a takeaway for other people out there from this conference, what is that?
Well, one of the things that I will certainly take away is the idea of bringing pride into the conversation. And some of the speakers have talked about bringing pride in and asking, what are you proud of in this situation in terms of your response? And I think that's really important, especially for the students that I work with, to feel good about the things that they've already done. And so that's one small thing that I'll be taking away.
Thank you so much, Erin.
What about you, Jennifer Watson?
I fell in love with solution focus because we don't make assumptions about people, what drives them. I like that we don't tell people how to live their lives, that they are quite capable of figuring out how to navigate into a life that they would like to live.
And you're in Houston and are a licensed professional counselor intern. So what have you taken away from the conference that might be useful for your practice?
For a while after I got into this approach, I was having a hard time finding my personality in doing this approach, because I haven't seen a lot of examples of women actually doing solution focused. And so I wasn't quite finding myself. And so when I watched Alicia's single session and Jackie doing her work in South Africa yesterday at Feminist Friday, things kind of shored up and really solidified where I see myself, my personality within solution focused. As long as we stay to the foundations of solution focused, I can be as weird and animated and funny as I want to be.
I love that.
And you just told us that you're a frequent listener of the Simply Focus podcast, where we have all those different people on there with different approaches. So how does that make a difference to see different people with different approaches define your style?
It allows for more flexibility and it's not so stringent. And I guess it allows for people's personalities to come out. And then with that comes creativity. When we do get to watch examples of the different, I guess, leaders in Solution Focus do their sessions, you can see how their personalities come out. So that flexibility really makes a difference for me and how I approach my clients and how I evoke the hero inside them. And I enjoy watching them work towards their preferred future.
So there's no one way. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, guys.
We have Beverly Court with us from Vancouver, and we love Vancouver and the Vancouver area, Vancouver Island, very much. And you're a psychologist. What fascinates you with Solution Focus?
I began as a narrative therapist, and Vancouver was the mecca for narrative therapy. I mean, I've been a psychologist since the 1970s. I'm like senior psychologist. And Vancouver was a mecca, and Insoo Kim Burg and all the narrative people. And Solution Focus, Yvonne Dolan, they all came through Vancouver, so it suited me really well. And so my whole career has been in this way of being with our clients. But then in around 2015, sort of got involved in this group. I follow you guys. I listen to the guy in England who's got the podcast.
Alan Perry from the UKA SFP podcast.
Yes. And so I just really enjoy listening to everybody connecting around this idea of being with clients, being the world. There's, you know, the big Saul world and they're in business. So it just has always been my orientation.
And now, the third day of the conference, what have you taken away from the first days for your practice that might be useful for your clients in the future?
Just it solidifies a lot of what I'm doing, and I really came here excited to hear Bill, because he also, I'd heard him before, and Jackie and Evan, they were really why I came. And Jackie's piece on trauma, I had heard her interviewed in the course, and this was just, yes, right. Totally. It just really solidifies what I'm doing and supporting the ideas I work with my clients.
And what was the yes when you heard Jackie's presentation?
When I really hated seeing couples, it was always like, oh my God, not a couple. But when I started addressing solution-focused ideas towards couples, it was like, oh, I can't wait to see a couple. So it's not like, oh, I can't wait to see someone who's coming to see me just for a trauma. But now it's like, oh, it's not a problem. I totally believe in vicarious resilience, and I always feel, for the most part, I have a very like West Side Vancouver practice, so people have to pay to see me. My big thing now is trying to get psychologists more on board, because they're so not into this because they think it's, you know, not deep enough. So I'm really working hard within my organization to get more training and solution focus. It's like pulling teeth, but I'm trying.
Thank you so much.
It's the morning break of the third day of the SFU conference, and we have Bout Kromkamp here from the Netherlands. And you did a wonderful intuition session yesterday night, where we enjoyed working on the issues of three people within an hour, so really short and fast and very effective. So what has been fascinating you with Solution Focus?
What's fascinating me with Solution Focus? Well, I fell in love with Solution Focus, just like Evan was saying this morning, only not 30 years ago, but about 10 years ago, because it immediately resonated that it is so respectful of the other person and that you keep all the thinking and all the moves forward with them. And that somehow resonated from my own experience in life, my own experience being in management positions, having children who needed quite a lot of care. I mean, just it resonated with my outlook on life, I suppose.
And what have you taken away from the conference for your own learning, for your practice when you go home again?
One thing I will definitely take away, I was here with two colleagues, they had left now, but we've been discussing that we want to do something with the single session therapy that Alicia was talking about yesterday. Because yeah, we've been looking at ways to introduce that, and we see great opportunities for that concept. So that was one thing, yeah.
And what is it about the concept that is interesting for you and that might make a difference in the Netherlands for your clients?
Well, we're seeing that there's long waiting lists. I mean, there's a shortage of staff in the helping professions, and a lot of them still work in the traditional way, so a lot of sessions. And there is something so beautiful about seeing people at short notice having one very good, meaningful conversation. And I'm just convinced that you can help people get underway. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you very much for that. And also, thank you very much for your intuition sessions, who were also like that, very short, very fast, and very effective. And it would be interesting to talk to the people there that were there and see what differences that made for them. So thank you very much and enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you, Dominique. I'd love to hear about that. Yes. Bye-bye.
We are here with Anne Davis from New Zealand right now. Hi, Anne. And we're curious, what fascinates you about solution focus?
Hi, well, what fascinates me about solution focused is using it in everyday life, actually. So when I first came across solution focused, I thought, oh, I've come home. And I've been looking everywhere, really, to see how I can use it in my everyday life with my friends, with my family. And I'm putting together programs for people in terms of personal and spiritual development. So that's what I love about solution focused.
That's so much what we're on to. And we're curious about this 3 days of this conference. If there is one learning, you know, that you took away for your everyday life and that you also want to share with others, what is that right now?
I think what I've observed is that everyone in this room is a different person. And whether you're talking about using it in your professional life, in therapy, or in any way, it's applicable to so many different facets of life, not just a therapeutic situation. So I would encourage anyone to look at the approach that solution focused uses, and I'm sure they can all find a benefit in it.
Thank you very much, Anne.
And we can't wait to see you in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yes, we have Jackie von Sifra-Bergs with us, and she did a beautiful keynote plenary session yesterday called Soul Whisperer.
And we are very curious, Jackie, thinking back of yesterday, of your keynote, if there's one thing you want the people to take away from your keynote, because this is important to you and to your heart, what is that?
Well, because I was talking about trauma and working with trauma, I think for me, the most important thing for us as therapists is not to ask questions that turn us into victimologists, and rather to ask questions, especially with clients that have experienced some form of trauma, that we rather become resilientologists. We are asking questions that elicit and bring out their resilience, because trauma is such an overpowering experience for people. My best hope is that we bring out their strengths and their resilience, and that we as solution-focused therapists turn into resilientologists rather than amplifying everything that went wrong.
And what was your message, or what is your message, how to do that?
Well, I think for me, it's about listening differently, looking differently at our clients. So yesterday I spoke about having a soul ear, a soul eye, a soul heart, and a soul tongue, meaning you have to listen to the person's strengths and their resilience. You have to look for resilience. You have to feel and bring out and believe in their resilience. And you have to be very mindful of the types of questions you ask, because the questions you ask, your soul tongue, always elicits only the coping, only the resilience, the strengths within somebody. So I have a term I call rebriefing the strengths instead of debriefing the trauma.
Wow, beautiful. You're the director and founder of the Solution Focused Institute of South Africa. And how does what you just explained to us make a difference for your clients in South Africa?
So yes, I found the Solution Focused Institute of South Africa, and I train counselors, therapists, social workers, and lately a lot of teachers in solution focused thinking. But if you're asking, Dominique, what difference it makes in terms of the trauma work, South Africa, unfortunately, is quite a crime-ridden country. So for us as therapists, we often have at least one or two trauma referrals a week. Yeah, so our practices are always full of trauma stories. So the difference, my hope, is that we build resilient therapists that experience vicarious resilience. So instead of the therapist always being traumatized by the trauma stories, the therapist is now inspired by the resilient client. So that was my hope.
Oh, thank you very much for your work that you're doing there. It's so great to have so many people from different parts of the world, from South Africa, from New Zealand, from Europe, from the US, Australia, from South America. They're all here doing such amazing work with Solution Focus in so many different fields. And we can just express our gratefulness for all the work that people are doing and changing the world one conversation at a time. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much for having me.
We have Amelia Barreda from Chile with us, and we're almost at the end of the lunch break of the third day. So Amelia, what fascinates you with Solution Focus?
Well, it fascinates me that the Solution Focus believe in people, believe in our client, and believe there is something in there that it's okay. And if you can trust and get it, people goes out alone. They don't need to do a specific task or less than a diagnosis. So that's inspired me. I was very curious about how did it work. And then I began to read, and I went to Denver and studied with Terry Pitchot. So I began to see and think about what we're doing when we do therapists. So it is amazing how people change when you just ask the unique questions that touch the people.
So you're in Santiago de Chile, work as a therapist with families. So from this conference, what could be one takeaway where you say, well, this could be really relevant for my work and for the families I work with in the future?
It's difficult to think just in one thing, but listen to Evan George. I wondered what happened if I do some questions, specific questions, maybe to learn to learn with the people we work. You know, Latin people is a little different from the Anglo people. For us, it's difficult to go through the solution without listening the people. So I want to take the Evan George way, that it's be curious and prove. Just do different things and see what happened with the people or with the clients we work. Because we work for them. We are waiting that they change, and they change in the way that they are just good for them. So this way of being curious and just change some things we do and prove what happened to people.
And yes, let us know what you find out. It's always great to hear stories from different cultures, from different languages, and to see how they apply Solution Focus and what works there. So we're really curious. If you could let us know what you find out, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We're here with Caroline Minelli, my dear friend from Switzerland. I'm so excited to see you here in Taos after more than a year. And yeah, it's so great to have you here. And I'm curious, Caroline, what fascinates you with Solution Focus?
Well, Elf, it's so great to see you again after such a long time. So I'm Caroline, and I'm calling myself the marriage saver. I love working with the one person out of the marriage who wants to change something, who wants to save their marriage, and it's just awesome.
And what is it that fascinates you with Solution Focus?
What really fascinates me is what you can do only through so simple questions, and you can start thinking totally differently. So your mind is changing. The whole mindset is changing. You don't have to have a brain surgery. It's just working through simple, not easy to answer questions. And I just love it.
And from this 3 days conference so far, if there's one takeaway you take with you and you would also love to share with others, what is it?
I think one of the most important things for me is to see that solution focus is not solution focus. Everybody has their own way of implementing it, of living it, of sharing it, and everybody has their place, and I love that.
Thank you so much. We are here with Alicia Kurtnich, and we are so happy. Thank you, Alicia. You're a co-organizer of the conference, and you did a keynote about single session therapy, and we are very curious. If there is one thing you really would love the people here to take away from your session, what is that?
What I hope people take away from my session is that single session therapy is really about respect, and respect for the client, and respect for the client's process, and respect for the client client's time and respect for the client's ability to change in a short period of time and hopefully as the result of one conversation.
That's so beautiful. And talking about respect, how do you do that in your single sessions, showing the respect?
So for me, it has a lot to do with humility. I always try to remember that every time I get to have a conversation with a person, that it's a gift. And to hold it like that, that people come to sessions in a state of trust and of vulnerability, and that part of my job and part of my role is to honor that and to stay humble and grateful that the short period of time that we get to spend together is worthwhile and meaningful for them.
So last afternoon of the three-day conference, if there's one thing that you take away from the conference as a learning that might be useful for you and your clients in the future, what could that be?
So I think we've had so many different perspectives on this, you know, starting from Bill O'Hanlon and Evan George, who have been in the field for so long. I would say to really remember that these things evolve and change, that this model is living and dynamic and versatile and nimble. And I feel so inspired to go back and be able to meet with clients in that way, you know, and I think that's important. It's not fixed what we do. It's wonderfully dynamic.
Wow, we're at the end of the SFU conference, 3 days of solution focus, and we have Denise Youssef from UK with us.
Denise, you're so much involved in the whole work of Brief, and we are so happy to meet you here at the SFU conference, and I'm very curious, what fascinates you today with solution focus?
Well, it's been amazing to come because I didn't know I was coming, and then Evan got the invitation and said, shall we both go? So I wasn't really that prepared. But it's just been really exciting, and it's fascinating for me to hear how people are doing solution focus so differently, because often, you know, when you learn it and you supervise students, there's like this particular way, but actually the life of solution focus is really in how people are doing it differently. And I've just loved listening to people and talking to people. I keep burning my toast at breakfast because I'm standing by the toaster, then I'm talking to someone about it, and then I forget the toast. It's just fascinating to hear different people doing different things and thinking in different ways and worrying in different ways. It's just great. It's been so exciting.
So what is one of your learnings or insights from this conference that you take home and that might be relevant for your clients?
Well, it's something that, in a way, it's like somebody said, it's nice to learn that you're doing something that you want to carry on doing. And I think one of the things for me that I say, but maybe it's not easy to practice, is making mistakes. I just think, in a way, when you make a mistake, you learn so much, but sometimes you go forward with the mistake and maybe it wasn't such a mistake, or maybe you come back and okay, so then you have another think. And I think I'm going to take that away as well, like doing sessions, particularly with children. There is never a mistake. There's just another thing to say or another way to look at it. But people were talking a lot about it's okay just to learn and make mistakes. And I think for me, that's something I always want to remind myself, that in a way there's a lot of life in making a mistake.
And hearing that from you, thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you, Denise. Keiko Yonayama, it's such a pleasure to meet you here again in Taos. We spend a lovely time in Denver together, and well, we are very excited to meet you here again. And Keiko, you gave a workshop about women in postpartum period and solution focus, and we are very curious if there is one thing you really, really, really want to take your participants away from your workshop. What was is that?
One thing that I wanted participants to take away from my workshop was that to trust the client, that they have the resources, the strength, and in believing in them, even though they will present you the chaos, the disappointments, and such a dreadful experience that they're having, but still keep digging for the thing that they have that they've maybe forgotten amongst the chaos, but they still have that in them. And then we just need to shed the light on how are you coping with it, how are you doing it, and what in them that it's so precious that we need to look up that kind of resources in them. Yeah.
That's such a great message. And if there's one message from the conference or one learning from the conference that you take away that might be relevant and might make a difference for your clients, maybe the women in postpartum period, what could that be?
One thing I took out of this conference is to accept, even if I misunderstood them or if I didn't get exactly what was important for clients, but then if I keep the solution mind and solution ears and solution eyes that Jackie mentioned, that we will find the way. There is always a way, and even if I feel stuck, to remind that there will be a way to get what the client wants to be.
What a beautiful message. Thank you so much, Keiko.
Thank you, Elfie and Dominic, and it's so a pleasure to meet you again.
And we have another person that we met on our journey, Pamela King. And she also did a workshop here at the SFU conference, Tools for Effective Work with Children.
Pam, if there is one thing you want your participants to take away from your workshop, what is that?
The one thing, well, I think that children can lead the way. And so sometimes people will say, oh, well, I don't know what to say or I don't know what to do. And I think if we can all get better in our listening to children and trusting children, trusting a 5-year-old, trusting a 9-year-old or a 12-year-old to show us the way, and trusting their parents as the experts on their family and the child as the expert on themselves, they're going to help us out. They're amazingly helpful in showing us the way. We just have to be open to following instead of being the leader expert.
What a beautiful message. Thank you, Pam.
Being open to following 3 days of Solution Focus Conference. So if there's one thing that you take away, one learning or an insight that might make a difference for your clients in the future, what could that be?
I think the big thing that I'm taking away is a sense of enthusiasm, energy, and hope, and this community that strengthens me and it gives me hope for the world. It's so wonderful that it's not just one country or one city. There are so many countries represented just at this small conference. It just gives me hope for the world.
And it's always so great to come together and learn together at so many conferences. And we'll have a link in our resource section of all the conferences that we are aware of so far that take place this year. So if you're interested in being part of the family, getting to know Solution Focus, learning together, then come to one of those conferences that you see in the resource section of our podcast, go to www.sfontour.com/simplyfocuspodcast and then go to this episode.
Rochelle, it was such a pleasure and inspiration talking to you yesterday evening about solution focus and life and your homeschooling journey and, well, all your adventures. And we are very curious to learn from you. What fascinates you about solution focus?
Well, it was delightful to meet all of you and your super cute daughter. I think solution focus, the thing that really draws me to it is that it's real and it's part of life and it permeates into your life. You can't be passionate about solution focused and keep it separate from your personal life.
That could have come from us because solution focus is an everyday life approach. We call it the good life approach. So, well, better life for whatever you do and wherever you are. And so we're very, very happy to hear that and hear so many people here also using solution focus in their lives. So if there's one learning, one insight, one thing you take away from this conference that might make even more difference in your life, in your everyday life with solution focus, what could that be?
Well, the thing I've been working on myself lately is talking to myself and thinking to myself about trust. And so when Evan started to bring it up, it really started to percolate more things. And I think about how we don't notice how prevalent trust is in our lives. I mean, we trust people when we're on the road and they're driving, that they're not going to slam into us. but we don't think about that kind of trust. And there are other kinds of trust that we think about and we're fearful of. And so, I don't know, what I'm kind of working on is how all these different kinds of trusts can be part of our life and we can be more aware of all the different kinds. But it's a thought process that I'm just starting, so it's just a beginning.
We are so curious to hear more about that from you, so thank you very much.
This was Rochelle Bloxburg from California.
We have Evan George here from Brief London, and he just gave a fabulous workshop on getting briefer.
Evan, from your workshop, if there is one thing you really, really, really want all the people here at this conference to take away with them in their work, what would that be, knowing that there are many, many more things?
Well, if there were one thing that I'd really want people to take away is that I think it's really important that we all develop our own way of being solution-focused, of using this approach. And that, you know, at Brief, we've worked together as a team over 32 years developing a model. But it is just a model. It is just one approach. And just because we've developed that, and it happens to work for us, wouldn't necessarily mean that it's right for anyone else. And it really is important that people find their own ways of using this approach. And certainly one of the things that I think has been inspiring for me during the course of these days here at TAOS has been the huge range of people here from so many different countries, from so many different settings, working in so many different contexts, all of them using solution focus in a way that works for them. And the way that people have been using the model is quite different, but it really isn't. We shouldn't be thinking about right or wrong. We should be interested in exploring differences.
Wow, learning from the different is something that we really want to highlight also with all the podcasts we do, all the things that are out there and all the resources out there, because there's so much that we can learn from your 30 years of experience, your model that you are still developing and is still in progress, and from all the others who are out there. So how could we do that even more as a community?
Well, I think that it's about being interested in difference. One of the things, you know, I've been lucky enough over all these years to work with my wonderful colleagues, Chris Iveson and Harvey Ratner. And what that means is that there are people around you who can spot differences in your practice, that suddenly during a particular session you do something different. But that something different that you do doesn't turn out to be useful unless actually someone notices it and begins to get curious. How come you decided to do that rather than this? Look, it's exactly what you're saying, that that's the attitude that we have to take into our work with our colleagues. So we're listening to people working and we're curious about the differences and we get interested in that curiosity position. How come? How come you do it that way? How come doing it that way fits for you rather than doing it another way? And if we can be interested in that, then actually we can learn from each other.
And you're such a role model in showing how to constantly stay curious about your own practice, constantly staying curious about the model and about developing the model. So I'm also very curious, you mentioned already what inspired you with this conference, and I'm also curious about your next Sunday post. So for everyone who doesn't know about that, please connect with Brief on Facebook, and Evan is writing every week a Sunday post with a very big solution-focused inspiration. And, well, thinking back about those 3 days, what might inspire your next Sunday posts, maybe?
When I came here, I came with my wife, Denise Youssef, and I certainly didn't know that I'd end up saying what I ended up saying at this conference. And when we can develop new words, new descriptions for talking about what we do, those new words and those new descriptions can open up new ways of seeing things. Look, I had thought over the years about the idea of straightening the line in solution-focused work. I'd certainly thought about centralizing the client in solution-focused work, but I've never thought about humanizing the process. And suddenly that idea that what we've been interested in doing over all these years is humanizing the process suddenly opens up a new way of thinking, new possibilities. And, you know, I'm sort of wondering at the moment, is that something that's going to live on in my thinking? Or is that something I'm going to think, I'm not sure I learned anything terribly useful from that. But unless we do it, we don't know.
Thank you. And we stay curious about what you will be finding out about that. So thank you very much. And hopefully see you soon in the UK when we come to UK next summer, and have hopefully the chance to have you and your colleagues on the podcast.
It's a pleasure.
We are at the end of the SFU conference. 3 days of Solution Focus Conference. There's a party left. But the official part is over, and we have the hosts of this year's conference, Adam Furr and Elliot Connie here.
And there are so many questions that come to our mind now. But maybe sticking to one at the beginning. After 3 days conference, bringing together this conference, as you put it, Elliot, magic place, which is truly what we feel as well, bringing together all those people. If there is one thing you would love all those people to take away from this conference, what is that?
If there was one thing that I would want people to take away from this conference, it would be love. Because I think love encapsulates what this conference and what this organization is all about. Like, this conference is an act of love that started with an act of love. Adam and I, 10 years ago, I mean, we met, I don't know how long ago, but 10 years ago, we actually kind of officially met, started hanging out. And we realized we had similar ideas about solution-focused brief therapy and did not plan or set out to be doing what we're doing now. We just planned to talk. And we started talking once a week over video and phone and however we need to do it. Luckily, sometimes face to face. But we ended up just loving our work, loving each other, loving what we were doing. And before we knew it, we had an audience and we had to do something for that audience. So if there was one thing I want people to take away from this conference is that loving feeling that inspires you and that carries you on to do things that change the world. Because if you're loving your heart, you change the world. In a solution-focused context in a session and also in the community overall, that's what I would want people to take away.
I would say I agree with everything that Elliot said. The one word that came to my mind also when you asked the question was hope. And I think Evan talked about today, why do we talk about best hopes? And one of the things that he talked about is that it's a starting point. And I think that each event like this, in some sense, is a new start. We have new ideas. We have new perceptions. We have new ideas about what our work is going to be. And so I think hope also has two components to it. I think hope is a noun. It's something that we have. And it's also a verb. We hope for something. And so I think that it's connected to what is currently happening and what we hope will come in the future. So I think I would say at the end of this, I hope people kind of evaluate where they are and where they want to be.
Thank you so much. Hope and love. What beautiful and big words. And yet seeing them also not only as a noun, but also as a verb makes a huge difference. And doing is something we talk a lot about in Solution Focus. So I'm curious, you said you had your weekly talks together. So how did you do it to keep on inspiring each other and staying curious about each other, about your practice, and what brought you here today?
It's why, at least at this point in my work, I talk so often about love. Because Adam and I, we didn't continue on for 10 years and, you know, planning to do it for the next however many years because of passion for SFPT. It was truly an act of love. Some of those meetings, Adam would be going through a hard time. So we would spend 2 hours talking about life. And other times, most often, I was going through a hard time. And we would spend 2 hours talking about life. And some of those meetings required lots of effort to make happen. Because I travel a lot, and I'm in all kinds of other time zones, and but you have to be in touch with your heart to be able to carry on that kind of work. So if someone were to ask me, as you just did, how did we do it? Because we always kept our hearts in the driver's seat. And we always kept our obedience to what we genuinely feel like is our calling in the driver's seat. We never let it get clouded by things like money or the task of solution-focused therapy. It has always been and continues to be one of the most loving things in my life that I've ever done. And if you don't have love in it, it can't be magical. So how did we do it? We just became brothers. We became family. We never lost sight of the overall purpose of what we're doing.
And Elliot even made us sing a birthday song today for Adam's daughter. And we are very grateful for both that your daughter allowed us to have you here. Well, I think it shows so much about your love to this approach, to Elliot, but also to your daughter, because at the end of the day, I think as parents, and this is an assumption, but we do a lot of the work we do also for our children. So thank you very much for being here. And I also would love to hear your answer to the question, how did you do it? How did you come here?
Thank you for that, by the way. I think one of the things that I would say is that it's true. Everything that Elliot said is true. I would say he has become part of our family. My children consider him an uncle. And so I would say, although it's kind of twofold, I think there is a lot of work that goes into it. Those weekly calls that we have every 2 weeks, most of what happens on those calls is what do we need to do and what's the next step? And it's work. And I mean, Elliot is constantly pushing me to work harder. I think he works harder than any living person on the earth. And so I think sometimes when people see it, they think, oh, that's luck or that's fortune or whatever. And I would say there's definitely a piece of that too. I don't want to dismiss that, but it's a lot of work. And I think that that's one of the things that really comes from this partnership is we push each other. We make each other keep thinking regularly. We each come to those meetings prepared to say, hey, what about this? Or I've been thinking about this. We don't wait for that one moment to then say, what are we going to do now? And so I'd say there is a lot of work that goes into it. But I would also say it becomes just a piece of who you are. And so even though it is hard and it is work, it's also enjoyable, right? And so it is fun to spend time together in these kinds of events. Again, even though they are a lot of work, it is fun. And so I would say what makes it possible is that we like doing it.
And that's one thing we see, one thing we feel, and one thing everybody can see when you connect to those two guys and see how productive they are and what they get out into the world and videos and all those things, Solution Focused University and all books, etc. You find many of those resources, maybe not all, but at least the connection to those resources on our website. So go to the resource section of this podcast and you'll find many things about the two of them there. Yeah, we're coming to an end. So one last word, and we leave that to you guys as hosts of this conference.
One last word. I think the last thing I would say is I hope this podcast, I hope this conference, I hope our work, your work, will inspire people to live their life from the point of inspiration. If I had not met Adam, there'd be a hole in my heart that nothing else could fill. So this is no longer work. It's a calling from God. It's a fulfillment of my life's purpose, which brings a joy that I cannot describe. And I can only say that's true because of Adam and the work that we've generated. And I think we have to stop viewing it as work. We have to stop viewing it as competition. We have to stop viewing it as all of that noise and just go inspire and touch people, because that's when your heart gets filled and that's when this truly becomes special.
Yeah, I think I obviously would agree with all of that. One of the things that I would say is also, I hope that what people got from being here is that we are better when we support each other, than when we create connections, when we send each other our love, our support, our caring. It's such an ingrained part of what Solution Focused is, to be supportive, to be optimistic, to be helpful, to be kind, that I hope people got to see that in action and that they take it and do with it what they need to do.
Hope and love in action. Thank you so much, the two of you.
And if you want to become part of this family, of the Solution Focused family, well, we say friend power is stronger than willpower. And Elliot just said, well, Adam became my brother. So this family power, we are so much looking forward to having you in this community and also hearing from you what inspired you in this podcast, what inspired you from all the things that people said about this conference here. So we'd like to hear from you and like to be in contact and touch with you and hopefully grow the Solution Focused community even more to really make even a bigger difference in the world.
And if you want to share with us what inspired you, let us know and go to www.sfandtour.com/simplyfocuspodcast and then go to episode number 48. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys and goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
This was the Simply Focused Podcast with Alfie Cherney and Dominic Odat. Your podcast for a life in joy and ease.